Yeah, name that tune, which is so easy, and I'll try to get your name on the podcast a little bit later. It is the morning digestion for this, the 21st of August. God, we're almost at the end of summer. You know, fall, winter, spring, before we get another summer. It's just very depressing. I think I have to say this. I think most of you may have heard this already, but I just got to say it. The Biden ad which goes along with Biden's wife saying, you know, come on, settle for Joe. That's the important thing. You know, we got to beat Trump. That's the most important thing. Never mind any policy proposals. Well, that sentiment is exactly the heart of the new Biden ad.
We know in our bones this election is different. The stakes are higher, the threat more serious. We have to beat Donald Trump. And all the polls agree Joe Biden is the strongest Democrat to do the job.
Yeah, okay, so basically we got to beat Donald Trump. That's what this is all about. Now, that is also reflected in today's news. The Trump attacks, this is a new category under the list and links. The New York Times, one call from the NRA turns Trump from some kind of gun control to against any kind of gun control. And supposedly he got on the phone with Wayne LaPierre for 30 minutes, and that was that, the end of gun control. Now, what seems to me to be a little disingenuous about this story is that Maggie Haberman tweeted before the story ran, and she's one of the reporters on this, and you know, she's a New York Times White House reporter, and she's very good. But she tweeted, "It was the call with Wayne LaPierre was not the only reason that Trump was getting advice from other Republicans that sort of giving in to the Democrats on guns was going to lose him a lot of votes." So. I don't know. I thought this story was a little disingenuous in putting it all on the call from Wayne LaPierre. When down in the story, deep in the story, Maggie admits the same thing that she tweeted. There's several. Okay, but number two on the list of Trump outrages, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, wherever you'd like to look, you find a story. He cancels his Denmark trip. I misstated this in the list and links, but he cancels his trip to Denmark when the Danish prime minister says no sail on Greenland. Now, you know, there's all this just, gasping. It was on Twitter last night from mainstream media types like, oh, my God, can you believe the president did this? She said, we're not going to sell you Greenland, and he cancels the trip. And my question was then and is now, what other possible reason is there to go to Denmark other than to be nice to the queen there? But of course it was about Greenland. And if the Danish prime minister said, we're not going to talk about it, no sale and no discussion, nothing – well, why go? Anyway, oh, this is terrible diplomatic relations. Terrible, 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 terrible. Washington Post says, the trip was all about Greenland. There was really no other reason to go. So when, you know, there's no discussion about Greenland, then don't go. Washington Post, by the way, Denmark's prime minister is anti-immigration, a natural Trump ally, which of course was reflected in his tweets where he praised her, but said, you know, we're just going to put this trip off right now. All right. The other really tricky one, and tricky for me, because, I am a goy, I am not Jewish, Christian. Trump says Jews who vote Democrat are disloyal. This is in the New York Times. It's in the Washington Post. It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's wherever you want to look. There's just a huge screaming match going on about this. You know, Democrats voted, Jews voted for Democrats at like a 70-some-odd percent rate. And as I understand Trump's point, now, you know, there are people going around saying, I don't get it, and I don't understand how racist this is. I don't get it. But in any case, as I understand Trump's point, he's talking about Tlaib and Omar, who are leading the BDS movement, which is an attack on Israel, boycott, divest, sanction, and aims to undermine Israel. And Trump said, I don't get it. You know, these people are becoming the face of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is becoming anti-Israel. Why are Jews voting for Democrats who are anti-Israel? I assume his meaning, and you've always got to figure out Trump's meaning because he doesn't really articulate it clearly, is that Jews who vote for Democrats are being disloyal to Israel. I mean, some people are saying that his intention was being disloyal to the U.S. I don't think that it's that at all. And then there's, you know, it's claimed from some quarters of the Jewish community that talking about Jews' divided loyalty between the U.S. and Israel is anti-Semitic and is, well, you know, could be. I mean, I'm not going to argue that point, but I think what Trump meant was they're being disloyal to Israel because Tlaib, Omar, and Democrats who were supporting the BDS movement are essentially undermining Israel and would put it out of existence if they could. Wall Street Journal, down at the bottom of their story, quotes Republican Jews who say, Trump's right. Well, it's the last graph, but hey, it's there. He's attacked for mentioning that he wants Russia back in the G7. That's in the New York Times. Washington Post, situation in the Middle East is we're negotiating with the Taliban and ISIS is on the rise again. Politico, Trump and his allies are going after the mooch. Why would that be a surprise? Anthony Scaramucci has been like doing the full Ginsburg. He's on everywhere. And people who derided him as a suck-up and an amateur and a know-nothing when he was the White House communication director for 11 whole days, they're all of a sudden, you know, going, this is the greatest guy ever. Listen to him complain about Trump. Listen to him criticize Trump. This is like, he is the best. It's just hypocrisy in action again. Guns. Washington Post, David Hogg is still around, you know, on his anti-gun campaign. Politics, I mentioned this at the top with playing a little bit of the Joe Biden ad. Jill Biden's settle on Joe pitch in the Washington Post, everywhere again. Again, it's in lots and lots of papers. Fox News, Biden wrong again. See, what was this? He talked about the Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations in the 70s. No, not the 70s. Fox News, some gaggle someplace, Peter Doocy's in a crowd of reporters. Joe Biden says, I've got the biggest crowds anybody has in Iowa. And he asks, have you seen bigger crowds? And Doocy says, yeah. At Elizabeth Warren's rally, and Biden is pissed. Biden's brain surgeon says he's the only one of the two who has a brain. He says, I operated on Joe's brain 31 years ago. I can tell you it's just fine. Further political news. Hey, Bernie, your pal Cardi B just told the NYPD, fuck you. Are you still with her? Here's a good one. Republicans planning to run against Trump. It's in the Washington Post, and they include Bill Weld, who's declared, Mark Sanford, John Kasich, I'm forgetting one, but, you know, there's, Joe Walsh. Wall Street Journal, Pelosi corrals radicals to save the moderates in her caucus. Eco warriors, don't often have this story, but the New York Times says, you know, it's really not true that there's all that oil up there in the Arctic. You know, ANWR was supposed to produce enough oil that would have this enormous boon to the federal treasury. No, it's not much at all. You know, once again, a campaign against exploiting our own oil reserves. Okay, social justice warriors, this is getting to be a bigger and bigger category in the news every day, and I suspect it's going to go on for a long time. The Washington Post, in their The Dawning of Slavery in America series. Hey, you probably don't realize this, but the slave ships got here before the Mayflower. And those were kidnapped Africans on board. Well, no. I mean, slave ship may well have gotten here before the Mayflower, but, you know, if I may just say, for the historical record, Africans were sold to white people by Africans, usually Africans who won the war and had prisoners, and sold them rather than just cutting their heads off, which would happen to a lot of those that lost the war anyway. But kidnapped, I'm not so sure that applies. New York Times, why can't we teach slavery right? And first, let me tell you what teaching it right is, you honky. Shut up. That seems to be the thrust of the story. New York Times, their ancestors were enslaved by law. Now they are lawyers. Okay. So that seems to be the race thing for now. New York Times, accidents that kill bicyclists in New York City should be crimes. And they describe a horrible incident in which a drunk 18-year-old ran a stoplight, T-boned a car. The car flew through the air and hit a bicyclist and killed him. Well, you know, in that particular case, yeah, probably that kid should be charged. He hadn't been yet, but he may be. New York Times, the BDS movement against Tucker Carlson, boycott, divest, sanction. This all has to do with, you know, advertising leaving Tucker's show because Tucker said white nationalism is not a big problem in this country. And the thrust of this is you can't say what we say isn't true. If you do, we'll get you. That's what this is all about. Two stories here, one in the New York Times, one in the San Francisco Chronicle, California's K-12 ethnic studies fight. The New York Times takes a look at it, and then the Chronicle says, well, yeah, this may get sidelined because it turns out it is too radical, and the legislature isn't going to go along with it. Washington Post, the kings of capitalism, here are the little people. This is all the CEOs of, you know, majors saying, maybe we should take care of the employees. Yeah, maybe you should. Tech, ideas to rein in big tech in the New York Times. There's like four ideas. I'm not going to go into them. You can read them if you want. New York Times, Facebook plans to hire actual people to oversee its news tab. This means that we're not going to, it's not going to be entirely algorithm driven. You know, there's going to be people there editing. They call it curating, which is a crock of shit. But editing, saying, okay, we're going to run this story, we're not going to run that story. And Facebook is going to pay publishers for their stories. Now, for some reason, journalists in these papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post, which will be paid mightily for their stuff, for some reason, these journos think that this is suspicious. And there's, there's a lot of talk among, I guess, even the right wingers. Oh, Facebook's just going to hire a bunch of left wingers. I don't know. I don't know that that's true. LA Times story, Silicon Beach is Venice and El Segundo out there at the beach where a lot of tech companies are headquartered in Los Angeles. So this is a Silicon Beach obnoxious story. I'm not even 30 and I'm flying my own private jet. Great. Just great. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, priced at $200 million to $1 billion. LA's best vacant lot sells for $100,000. It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's in others, too. You know, Jeff Bezos went and looked at this. This is a piece of land, pretty big piece, on a mountaintop overlooking Bel Air. And it's a beautiful piece of land. Bezos apparently went and looked at it to decide if he's going to build his mega mansion there and decided it was overpriced. So, you know, what happened was it went into foreclosure and the person holding the loan is the one who bought it for $100,000. You know, I mean, any other bidder would have had to bid a minimum of $200 million. So it's not quite the headline that everybody is giving it, but nonetheless, it was priced at $200 to $1 billion, didn't sell, and then went to the mortgage holder for $100,000. Page six, Larry King files for divorce from Sean King. Now, you know, they've been married 22 years, but I remember, 22 years goes back to, I was on MSNBC. I remember Larry King had a heart attack and he was in a room at UCLA Medical Center, and Sean was not Sean King yet. She was his girlfriend. Came rushing into that room with a priest and at his bedside married him. And she was afraid he was going to die and she wanted to, you know, be in the will. Well, 22 years and a couple kids later, he's finally filing for a divorce. He's 85. New York Post, Maureen Callahan. I just interviewed Maureen Callahan for her new book. And I feel like I've been betrayed here. It's time to tell baby boomers to fuck off. I'm tired of celebrating everything baby boomers did 50 years ago. Okay, Maureen. San Francisco Chronicle, San Mateo, the heart of the mega-rich Silicon Valley, is building barracks for cops. Cops who live 2.5 hours away and, you know, can't make this drive every day. So they're going to have barracks for them because they can't afford to live in the place they police. Okay, so the email is host@johngibson.com. The bitch box, and I encourage you to call, is 859-544-2766. And, you know, if you can name this tune, I'll try to mention your name on the podcast. It's my little easiest contest ever. Come on, you're not going to have a problem with this, are you? I wouldn't think so. That's, like I said, it's the easiest contest ever. I'll see you in the podcast later.